Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Councilmember Morgan is not excused.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Councilmember Weber is not excused.
Councilmember Pepper?
Councilmember Pepper is not excused. So our attorney, Von Ward, has a couple of memos to read on conduct of the meetings and being excused for a meeting or cancellation of a meeting and conduct during council meetings.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yesterday I received an email from Councilmember Pepper requesting I direct the city clerk to remove the notice of the regularly scheduled council meeting for today. Because she said three members wanted to cancel it because they didn't like the agenda. I told her in an email I would look into the matter and get back to her and the clerk. I spent a lot of time last night and today researching the issue. This memorandum has been published. Under the law, there's an ordinance that sets regularly scheduled council meetings. An ordinance, as you know, is a law. The ordinance says these meetings shall, the word is shall, be held on the first and third Thursdays of each month, that's 7, at this building. Also under the ordinance, they actually say shall means mandatory. Therefore, this meeting is mandatory. The only way it can be canceled is if there's another ordinance or a state law that authorizes cancellation. There is no ordinance or state law that allows cancellation by anyone, the mayor, the council, or anyone.
Now, if we had some kind of an emergency, could you cancel the
There meeting? Is one provision of state law for, like, inclement weather, natural disaster. That's it. So the next question was whether three members of the council could vote to do this, and there is, again, nothing that allows that. Resolutions cannot supersede ordinances. That's law that's about 200 years old. It's black letter law. I've actually had to put together a memorandum because a lot of the things that I see coming through, they're trying to change ordinances by resolution, and that's clearly impermissible. So I have the handout for that. You asked me your duty, given the situation. I researched the law, and under the state law, you are obligated to see that all laws and ordinances are faithfully enforced. And so, for you do not have discretion. You are required to both maintain this meeting and to direct your staff to do whatever they normally need to do to prepare for it. The question was also raised as to what the consequences for failure to hold or attend the meeting. The consequences are severe. If they do not attend, they can include civil penalties, criminal penalties, and even forfeiture of office. If I believe the council members and the clerk has this, you felt this was a public import, we can pass these out. It's the yellow one here. I also would like to provide to the council for their that are here, their edification, RCW 9A.80.010 and RCW 42.20.100 and 42.20.080 make it a crime to not do your duty that's required under an ordinance or law. So if I may approach and make sure you have these. I don't have the, I didn't print out the 42.20.180, but that can be looked at. And then in terms, the question was raised on whether the absences are excused. I had a public records request verbally today about information. I have provided the emails which show that there's not necessarily an illness or a reason for not attending, except they don't like the agenda. And so I had a request for it. In compliance with the Public Records Act, I printed out the emails. I think you all have them, but if not, I'm going to hand that out.
We don't necessarily get these.
And Madam Mayor, that is the law regarding convening this meeting and attending regularly scheduled meetings as set by ordinance.
Oh, and there isn't any council members. Because you were going to do this one, too.
Well, this is important. One of the council members claimed that because they passed a resolution, they could do this, and resolutions can't change ordinances. And also, there's this issue of rules, and I am reporting to the mayor and the council. I have in hand two legal memos, one from the city attorney, Carol Morris, and one from the insurer, indicating that the rules that were under Resolution 1069 are illegal. I then requested from the council members who proposed this rule any legal memoranda they may have or any authority they may have from any source that would suggest otherwise, and they have not provided me with anything. I then did my own initial research, and the reason why the entire resolution is probably illegal, but I have to finalize my research, is based on evidence that's been coming to me from the public and from files, it appears that Resolution 1069 may have been produced and passed in violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. It may actually even involve criminal misconduct, and it's what we call in the law ultra vires, which means exceeding or conflicting with the law. And so that puts the city in an odd position. You know, what do you do? And the city cannot be complicit in anything that may be illegal. And therefore, my recommendation to the mayor has been, and now to the council, is you need to come down on the side of what you know is legal. And what you know is probably legal, at least to some extent, is the prior, part of the prior rule. I don't think all the prior rules are legal either. Because I've had to dig so far into this,
but they were only done a few years ago by Steve DiGiulio, and he's kind of well-respected person.
And the point is, though, those rules haven't been challenged. These rules have, the new ones have,
right.
And because of mostly the way they came about, and the breadth of exceeding their authority, they're clearly what we call prima facie on the face. Probably illegal. And my recommendation is that you proceed, you do not enforce Resolution 1069 until that's possibly resolved by a court of law. But this time, to do so, you could be exposing the city to more legal problems. So there's that. No,
we don't have that one.
That's the tan one, everyone.
And then one more memo on conduct of council meetings.
That's just the pre-council memos. On May 8, 2016, I received an email from Council Member Weber asking for a legal memorandum regarding removal of council members and, quote, the temporary dismissal of the presiding officer. I did extensive research on this, but I haven't had time with all the other stuff I'm doing to do a full memo. I can give you what I know. At the last meeting, the police chief distributed a memorandum that police officers use that had case law in it, and I verified that then that's valid. But there's also more authority. Under state and federal law, the presiding officer has the authority to maintain order during public meetings and may cause a person, including a council member, to be removed if that person is disruptive. And that includes speaking, continuing to speak when ruled out of order. because it disrupts the process. The best practice is to give the warning first, then take a recess, and then if it continues, ask your sergeant of arms. In this case, it would be the police chief or her designee to remove the offending party. There is no statute, case, or ordinance that allows the decision of the presiding officer to be challenged or overruled in this regard. A council cannot invoke upon itself that authority because it's not granted by state or federal law. Regarding removal or dismissal of a presiding officer, there is no statute, case, or ordinance which authorizes the removal of a presiding officer by the legislative body. However, if the presiding officer engages in conduct, just as any citizen, that in the presence of a commissioned law enforcement officer that creates a risk of public safety, then per normal police practices and standards, that person can be arrested or removed. But it'd be the same as if it was anyone else. So if the presiding officer assaulted someone or threatened or whatever, then the police officer would have their standards that they use and their discretion to arrest or remove, but not at the request of a city council. So that's my preliminary, and then I'll be a very detailed one because I spent hours on this as well. What that also means is if someone is ruled out of order, and this is for the benefit of the public, you must stop. What I have.
Okay. We can't conduct any business today because we don't have a quorum, so we won't be addressing the consent agenda. We will be issuing the checks tomorrow because we have two council signatures and the mayor's signature, so the checks will go out as normal. Now it's time for public comments. Persons wishing to address the city council regarding items of new business are encouraged to do so. At this time, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Seeing no one.
Wait.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry, Bob.
Bob Edelman, 29871 232nd Avenue Southeast, Black Diamond. Haven't been able to work my way through all of this yet, but my major concern, and I think maybe some way of getting some final resolution on all the problems we have, is to get rid of the outside interference with our government. We somehow need to get Kristen Bryan and Brian Dardowski out of the picture. We know, and we have evidence that Kristen Bryan and Dardowski are directing what's happening. And I'm not all that familiar with the statutes, but I understand, and this is something that Robin brought up, is that that interference, particularly when there's some, if it's done under saying that they're from the city, implying that they're from city government, that is a gross misdemeanor. How you get somebody to prosecute that, I don't know. We've had that problem with the prosecutors seem to be pretty consistent in refusing to prosecute for what they think are relatively inconsequential things. Well, this is certainly not inconsequential to the city. Maybe something could be done with an injunction to keep them away, keep them out. Also, we have the recent examples of the council members interfering with the mayor's duties and responsibilities. When they contacted council members who contacted the other cities on the Tri-City Agreement, telling them that should be removed from their agenda, saying that they were representing the city of Black Diamond. Maybe they should be prosecuted also. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Ron Taylor, 32110 Botts Drive in Black Diamond. I might also point out that there is no way that three council members could agree to not attend a meeting without doing it out from under the Sunshine Law, in other words, an OPMA violation. The beauty of our three branches of government is that no single person or group controls our lives. You were elected to legislate by enacting matters of policy and law. The executive branch then carries those out. When questions arise, our judicial branch, the court, makes a judgment. In Black Diamond, there is an alarming departure from our democratic system. The Save Black Diamond Council quickly set about to bestow upon themselves the powers of the executive branch, hiring and firing staff and actually taking over and running meetings. When this was challenged, they took over the judicial branch and issued a judgment proclaiming that what they had done was legal. This is not how our government is supposed to work. Instead, your monolithic and totalitarian government has created tyranny and dictatorship. No matter how noble you consider your cause, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I suggest that you abolish the city's elected officials, make Brian Drodowski king and Kristen Bryant queen, and make everyone else here the court jesters and minions. I have been where you are. I have had Brian Drodowski come to me and tell me how wise and wonderful he is, that I can't afford to think for myself, and that I must cast my vote in conformance with the plan, no matter what I think. This is the definition of a cult. I was pleased when Brian Weber recently made a decision for himself on the water treatment plan. But I've got, I've got a pretty good idea of the tongue lashing that he took for it, too. You need to realize that there is a reason that Brian Drodowski stands up and says, I'm no lawyer, but he is specifically transferring all responsibility over to your head. He can go on to give you all kinds of terrible legal advice, and he does. The responsibility of your vote is sobering. When you give that away, you are prostituting your office and making Brian Drodowski a political pimp who thrives on the incredibly bad judgment of those who serve him. Be careful what you believe. Brian Drodowski likes to refer to how the Seattle Times coined the term Drodowskivilles. But if you look it up, you will find that they were commenting on the fact that Brian Drodowski is the one who came up with the term of Drodowskivilles. He's the one that likes to call them that. Brian Drodowski's stated intent is to bring city staff and offices into chaos. Why? I have heard him tell newly elected officials, like me, that you have to go in like barnstormers. Why? When you wreck the train, you end up with a train wreck. Why not work collaboratively? Please don't let someone else perform an abortion of your common sense. And I close with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. Nearly all men can stand adversity. If you want to test a man's character, give him power.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council?
The second of the Taylor clan. Angelina Taylor, Port Orchard. And I know, like Drodowski, I don't live in the city, but Black Diamond is the very first city that I lived in when I moved from the East Coast. My in-laws still live here, and my kids beg me to come back here and see Grandma and Grandpa as much as I possibly can. To follow up what Ron said, just so the public knows, because a lot of you, I don't think, are aware just what Drzdowski is doing. Today, after the audit closing, Drzdowski was pretty upset. So we did see him meeting with Brian Weber and Erica Morgan outside of the council chambers or outside of here at the pizza and deli, and they got kicked out of there because obviously other people don't like Drzdowski. So they were at the Eagles Lodge, and there were pictures taken of him and Erica leaving together. So that's about it. I want you guys to realize that he is trying to bring chaos, like Ron said, and he's scripting the three council members to do what he wants. Even in talking to Brian Weber personally, I've sent Brian a couple emails, and his responses back to me are very scriptic, very scripted and cryptic, to make sure that he's speaking and saying exactly what Drzdowski wants. I asked for him to meet with me so that I could better understand his position, since he's one of the newer members, and he couldn't do that. He didn't have time, so that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Robin?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. We've apparently got the Taylor trifecta going on tonight. So, RCW 42.20.030. The title of that is Intrusion Into and Refusal to Surrender Public Office. And it says, the first part of it, every person who shall falsely personate or represent any public officer, or who shall willfully intrude himself or herself into a public office to which he or she has not been duly elected or appointed, or who shall willfully exercise any of the functions or perform any of the duties of such officer without having duly qualified therefor as required by law, or who, having been an executive administrative officer, shall willfully exercise any of the functions of his or her office after his or her right to do so has ceased, or wrongfully, well, I'm just going to read the whole thing, or wrongfully refuse to surrender the official seal or any books or papers appertaining to such office upon the demand of his or her lawful successor, shall be guilty of a gross misdemeanor. It is my belief that Brian Drzdowski is doing exactly this. It is obvious when you go to the committee meetings that the three council members in the majority who are not here tonight cannot make a decision to save their lives. They get this stuff into committee, and they say, well, we're going to have a discussion, and they never discuss it in committee. I don't know where they discuss it. Obviously, they can't make any decisions, and everything stays in committee. I don't know if it's because they don't know what they're doing or because they haven't been told what to do, but it becomes obvious that they're just kind of like swimming out there in the ether, and they can't figure it out for themselves or make a decision for themselves. At the January 19th, 2016 Save Black Diamond meeting, to which I attended, it was Councilmember Morgan and Pepper explaining to the Save Black Diamond group, along with Kristen Bryant, what the new council rules were and how the committees were going to run. And during that meeting, Councilmember Morgan stated that she was concerned that they not form a shadow government. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I say this in all seriousness, everyone came in tonight and there were people standing outside the door handing out paperwork. Those were two members of the shadow government, and I am serious when I say that. Drzdowski, Bryant, Kellerman, and Carrier are members of the shadow government because they run the three council members here, and they tell them how to vote. And I have seen Drudowski mouth what the vote needs to be on certain things, and they do it. So when I say shadow government, I am not being overly exaggerative. I am serious. They are the shadow government, and we need to do something to get them out of town. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment. Did somebody else raise their hand? Okay, seeing no one, I will close this public comments. We'll go to unfinished business. Item number four is the DKS voucher for $10,000. Does anybody want to have any discussion on that?
Yeah. Okay. I really, you know, I was going to keep my mouth shut tonight. Just talk to Bob. He knows how a difficult time I have. And I can say that for just about everything that's on this agenda tonight. How many meetings have we been to where we are seeing the same resolutions from the mayor and staff come before the council for action and nothing happens? And this $10,000 claim check for DKS, it's been paid. Why are we still fussing it at this point in our lives? We have legitimate city business that needs to be conducted in these meetings. I'm getting really tired of the kindergarten attitude of some of these council members who stomp their feet and don't show up at the meetings. They don't know enough to make a decision because they refuse to talk to the staff. They blame the mayor. They have their little hissy fits here in the council chambers, but they won't get educated. We're 5 months, more than 5 months into this year with these new council members. When I'd been on the council for 5 months, I had a pretty darn good idea of how the city government ran. I had a pretty good idea of the finance system. And by the way, because the finance system has been brought up as suspect, we passed the audit. May Miller and her organization passed the state audit with flying colors. The one comment that they made actually had been corrected, and may correct me if I'm wrong, within the last year or two. As soon as it was brought up by the auditors when they were here, it got corrected. And so there's no harm, no foul. There is nothing, no funny business going on here. So I just want to go forward with that. I'm just so disgusted with the way that things have been going lately. And I appreciate you all coming out here tonight because you're the citizens that are having, I mean, some of you may have voted for these people, but it's an injustice to our citizens, to our voters, for the behavior that we've been seeing. Thank you.
So, Councilmember Deedy.
So just on the claim check, you know, many of you have listened to the audios or been here, and I personally have asked Mr. Weber, Councilmember Weber, what's holding their committee up on this issue, and I don't get an answer. Or he says that the mayor, he still needs information. So I don't know how long it's been in since January.
So March 7th.
So it's frustrating, you know, because I ask questions up here during the time to ask the questions of the council members that have these in committees, and I never get an answer. I get somebody who stares at me and somebody who doesn't even look up at me. So it's frustrating, and I know that the mayor has sent all information. I know May has sent all the information on the DKS claim check, and still they won't move it out. So they are not speaking and telling the citizens or their council members the truth about anything. They're not bringing up issues that they're claiming they're having. So nobody knows. Just like a citizen stated, you know, we don't know what they're doing. If they're discussing everything behind closed doors, how are you as a citizen going to know what's going on and where they're getting their information if they're not relying on the information from our staff, our city attorney, our mayor, where it's coming out of? So, and they're not wanting discussions by the full council. They don't want work studies to sit down and go over any of these unfinished businesses. They want to control it and not sit up here and have staff and the attorney and a mayor to go through each of these projects and to fully discuss and find out what their issues are. It's a disgrace to this city to not be able to sit here and get business done in a timely manner.
So is there any discussion on any of the other items on the unfinished business? Because we've had present... Oh, Seth. Which one would you like to talk about?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. I would like to briefly address all of them, if I may.
Yes.
Starting with Council Action Bill 16032A, the awarding of the Jones Lay Overlay Project, that was tabled last meeting. We were hoping to award this contract to pave a road with grant money. These asphalt contractors are booking their work months and months ahead of time. At this point, awarding of the project in June, one, the contractor may say it's been over 30, 40 days and not want to honor the bid. Secondly, you may push you to doing the work in latter September or potentially October. So the city is being harmed. And I wonder if there's any legal way that we can award this contract tonight and move this forward.
So are you saying that we've lost the grant?
No, we have the grant. I'm saying that the contractor may have the right to not honor his bid. You can't hold the bid forever. I don't know if there's a time frame. Typically it's 30, 40 days. I don't... 60. The bid was in March. I don't know.
Pardon me,
excuse me, can I just, no offense, but we really can't have this kind of conversations going between the audience and staff. I share your concerns, and I would like it, if our city attorney can let us know. What kind of, what can we do?
We've been looking into this in terms of, for example, hiring some new city attorney.
Okay, is that working now? Okay. So basically, the mayor has very specific obligations under state law to maintain law and order, to maintain the interests of the city, to make sure contracts are enforced, to make sure they're done diligently, and to basically not let the city fall apart in a nutshell. Now, nothing in the statutes so far that I have found, because we're getting into an emergency state, would preclude the mayor from, for example, entering certain contracts which are already budgeted. So we're going to get to that at the city attorney. There's already a budget for the city attorney. And there's no requirement of council approval, and there's no statute-wise or ordinance-wise to approve a city attorney. So she can actually go now hire a permanent city attorney.
Yes.
mostly. Now, in terms of the status of this is to accept the bid?
Accept a bid, yes.
That's going to require a little bit more research. I don't want to say anything, but I have not been asked to research that yet. And either I or if, depending how soon the new city attorney can get on board, that probably should be a first order of business. So if I can't answer
that part, but I can answer the part about other things.
But this, that's my main concern with most of these. It's, you know, approving a grant. I mean, we've got one that's still hanging out from February 4th, the stormwater grant. But yet they wanted to shove a new resolution down our throats to adopt the latest stormwater guidelines, but yet they won't even approve a resolution that gives us some money to follow the guidelines that we currently have in place.
That would in part depend on the parameters of what's being offered. Like, does what's being offered in terms of the grant require council approval? So that's what you need to look at, you know, because there's a statute that actually says you can accept, you know, money and gifts. The question is, what are the parameters of the grantor? Mm-hmm. So that's what you'd have to look at.
It really infuriates me that basically what this bunch are trying to do is to totally shut down our city.
And if I may actually address that, that's again getting into, if a council member is not doing their duty, mm-hmm. that gives rise to the civil, mm-hmm. the criminal, and other remedies, because you cannot just A, not show up, and B, not act in the best interest of the city if you have a duty. One of the remedies is forfeiture of office, and that's not necessarily just through recall. There's a separate process that if you're violating the law and violating your duty, there is a separate process to remove an officer, an elected position, but you have to meet the criteria. But again, those laws are designed if the city's business is not being handled and if an official is not doing their duty. So there are remedies as well. But in terms of the specific as to that grant, we'd have to see the parameters of that mm-hmm. grant.
Okay, thank you.
But if you want me or the new attorney to look into, I probably can't. So I have to.
Well, besides that,
yeah,
I recognize what my responsibilities and duties are as a council member, and that is the mayor's responsibility to do that. It's not mine as a council member.
Right.
I'll deal with it when it comes on an approved agenda from the mayor, and then we'll act on it at that time.
Exactly. Yeah. So there may be a way, though, in terms of getting this. We'll have to just see if that route is available, regardless of council inaction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Botcher, did you have some more comments?
Yes, I'd like to turn to the LED streetlight Puget Sound Energy grant. Puget Sound Energy was telling us that they would not start this streetlight replacement program until we approved this grant. I noticed when we did put it on the agenda, they did start replacing some of those. I'm not sure if they've stopped that, but they were anticipating that this grant would be approved.
Does the grant say who in the city they require to approve it? Does it require approval by the council, or does it just say the city?
That is an interesting question, because we did have a conversation not too long ago that we've always put things before council, but if it doesn't require the approval of the council, we can go ahead and approve it if the city can approve it.
It's the Puget Sound Energy Conservation Grant Agreement. The participant has this a signature, print name, and title.
May I look at that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Moving on, Council Action Bill 16029A. Resolution authorizing a water quality grant agreement with King County for the North Commercial Stormwater Treatment Facility Project. This is the first construction funding money, $250,000, towards construction dollars of about $850,000. There's other grant deadlines that are coming up. And if we don't act on this one, I'm a little hesitant in putting staff time towards grant applications for the balance of the funds. So if we don't take action, everything seems to grind to a halt. We probably lose another year. Would they believe, is it going to be easier or harder to get that first chunk of money if we don't accept this one, say next year? So it puts staff in a difficult position of what are we supposed to be working on? We thought we'd have guidance from the previous council of what was important, what were the capital projects were, and what needed to be moved forward, and we acted on that guidance as well as the budget. Moving on.
Mayor?
Yes.
Comment? I don't see anything in this particular grant that requires council approval. So, we'd have to look at Black Diamond ordinances and then state statute to see if it requires city council approval to accept a grant. And if it's silent, then that would indicate that the mayor on behalf of the city may be able to accept the grant. So the research may be helpful. But we have
some additional legal research on that. Yeah, thank you. Council Action Bill 16033A, resolution approving professional services contract with Parametrics for the design of the Covington Creek culvert replacement. This was tabled last time, or maybe it's been a couple times. We have a short time frame. The grant says we need to be complete by the end of the year. It's going to be quite a rush to get done by then. And if the city is not showing due diligence in moving forward with this project, then why would King County grant us extra time? So we could apply for an extension if we weren't complete, but if we sat on it for a month and a half, it wouldn't bode well for getting an extension on this grant. So another reason to really move forward with this. And finally, the stormwater grant. The effect on not acting on this one is primarily working with just a very austere stormwater budget and not being able to move forward with the full program as we had anticipated this year. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dodger.
And Madam Mayor, on number six, I did a memo because Council Member Pepper asked for one. I don't know. It's very short.
Okay.
When you're ready to address number six.
Yeah, six, you can go ahead.
I received an email from Council Member Pepper regarding the ILA issue with Covington. I emailed her back. I called her. She didn't call me back. I emailed her. She never emailed me back. But I went ahead and proceeded with the research. And she questioned whether you could cancel the prior agreement. And she questioned the factual basis for that. And this was a very simple issue. You do have authority under both statute and a Washington State Supreme Court decision to, with a supervisory control over all contracts, and the court even said you are required to make sure that they are faithfully performed. I looked at the contract, there's no risk of liability because it was a notice termination provision under which it was terminated. Now, if there's a causal basis, though, for the termination in terms of conduct or behavior, if that needs to be discussed, it should be first done in executive session in case it impugns the performance of a particular person because of possible defamation. the council could then waive privilege and discuss that issue openly. But that's up to the council to do that. So that would be the process to address Councilmember Pepper's issues.
So,
Councilmember Deedy.
On that last statement you made, so in executive session, and then the council comes out and they say that they want to discuss the merits of to waive privilege and discuss the issue openly after understanding the risk of litigation. So, so you, whoever's the city attorney, you at the time, I would say, my suggestion is that you do not openly discuss this, and then the council comes out and decides to openly discuss that. That puts the council at a risk in not listening to the city attorney's advice, right?
Well, I can only tell you what the law is and what the consequences are.
Right.
And I can say this would be a bad idea, but I can't say don't do it. That's really
right.
Up to the council.
Right.
And then if that happens, yes, the council could come out and with whatever vote say we're going to waive our privilege and talk about everything we talked about in the executive session, and it's owned here. You mm-hmm. can do that. I don't have any control over that. It, depending on what's discussed, then as long as they know the consequences, then that's their call, or your call, I should say, as a council. And then the chips will fall where they will fall.
Okay. Thank you.
So is there anybody else wanting to discuss any other staff wanting to discuss any of the items under old business? Okay. Ms. Kincaid.
But just really briefly, because you've heard me say, talk about these agenda bills a couple of times, but the two that I'm, you know, here on the, under the old business that haven't been resolved are the interlocal agreement between Black Diamond and Maple Valley to continue the inspection, building inspection services. That was wrapped up in a three-city agreement, which we terminated. We now know there was a lot of controversy over whether or not the mayor was permitted to terminate that three-party interlocal agreement. We have legal opinion saying it was fine. We have been juggling in the community development department to continue to provide services that we're required to provide. We have inspections that we can do one day a week on Thursdays, which is really not enough, but that's all we can manage with a short contract with the consulting firm, which is another item that we've been trying to get through council. So I probably will put something on the webpage too so that people know we're able to provide inspection services on Thursdays only until we can get a long-term solution. And hopefully that will just be continuing inspection services with an approved ILA with just the city of Maple Valley. I know that it's been very convoluted because there's some people that think that three-party agreement, because it wasn't lawfully terminated, it still exists. I've got a termination letter. Covington accepts the termination. Neither Covington nor Black Diamond really desire to resurrect that agreement. I mean, we're ready just to let that go. And so hopefully people in all the confusion will understand that we're all still working well together. It just needed to drop that agreement side with the building inspector official and plans check with Covington Services. And Maple Valley is still willing to provide building inspection. So it seems pretty straightforward, and hopefully we can get that resolved and the department can get back up to where we're able to provide full services on building permits. And then that other old business is just the being able to approve a very short-term contract to continue with DKS on doing the transportation element for our comprehensive plan. And as time, I mean, Seth has said, as time goes on and this thing doesn't ever get out of committee. The other side of this, the consulting firm, you know, they kind of lose interest. After so many months, they started a job, this particular job, a year ago. They're probably not going to be all that interested in finishing the work, and that would be a real sad thing, because then we start over, and that represents quite a bit of financial loss to what we've already invested to get most of that transportation chapter done. So just those two things, you know, you've heard them before, but thank you for listening again.
Councilmember Deedy.
So on the one that they did, they're 90% complete.
Yeah, I would say 90.
So then if DKS didn't come back and finish that, then the new company that would hopefully get hired, I don't know, would then have to go back over all of what DKS did on that 90% project to go over everything to just get to the next 10%, which then would cost the taxpayers again a lot of money.
Another consultant will not touch another. They probably wouldn't even. They just would be starting from scratch.
So that's
What
a waste of money. Goodness. So on the building inspections with Maple Valley. So the prior one was with Maple Valley, Covington, and Black Diamond.
Correct.
So we severed the one with Covington. You know, the mayor did that. So there is no contract anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's done. You can't do Maple Valley, Covington, and Black Diamond, and when one has already been severed. So now you need a whole new contract, which is Black Diamond and Maple Valley. There is no contract right now. So that's why she's brought this forward, to get this passed.
Mm-hmm.
And these three council members have put it into committees where it is stayed. So, again, they have not said why they're not bringing it out. They just keep zip tight. So it's frustrating. And I'll just say my statement at the beginning stands for every single one of these projects.
It has been very difficult on the citizens that are actually trying to do projects. We're getting into construction season, and that's really hard. We actually had to refund. We had one project. We issue a building permit. We take in fees to provide those services, and this one woman said, that's unacceptable. My project is going to be stalled. It will cost me money. I'm going to go out and get my own private inspector to do the work. That puts the city really at risk, because then we have to decide whether or not we're going to accept an inspector's report that we really don't know anything about them. And number two, then she's asking for her money back. So you will see vouchers where we have had to refund money.
Councilmember Evan.
Well, along these lines, too, for those that don't understand the comprehensive plan, we're already a year late to the state of Washington with our comp plan. And Save Black Diamonds people have been harping on us for a long time about transportation issues and concurrency issues, and now they're holding everything up again. So it's not a matter of what's right for the citizens or for the city of Black Diamond. It's whatever fits their agenda, which is just chaos. And again, it really infuriates me. And another example of that was the very first Joint Planning Commission City Council work study that we had on the comprehensive plan back in
January, February.
These three council members canceled the city council part of that agenda, so we could not attend. And then two of them showed up, so that if a third one showed up just to observe, that would have been a violation of the OPMA. So we stayed home. You know, that's the kind of infuriating stuff that's going on here. It has nothing to do with what's good for the city. And the building official business, you know, we've got all sorts of new construction going on. And I'll tell you, when you've got the contractors calling Tammy and me to complain because they can't get something pushed through the city, you know that the system's broken. And there's no logical reason for that except for somebody's political agenda. And I'm sorry, at our level, all of that stuff should get put aside. We need to act what's in the best interest of our citizens and the city, and for those people who have voted us into office to do that job. And it's not being done right now by those three council people.
Councilmember Deedy.
So one of the checks that was reimbursed was to the Enumclaw School District. Mm-hmm. And that amount is for $56,298.20. You have the vouchers here. Because we can, on a Thursday, we cannot have one building inspector trying to inspect everybody else's projects and a major school going in. So they requested their money back, and they are going to hire their own inspector to come out. So again, this is ridiculous. I mean,
we're
stalling everybody. I mean, it's just not the big developer. It's not the Enumclaw School District. It's not Oak Point. It's everybody that's getting held up in this crazy thing going on.
Right. With the school district, that reimbursement is for their plan review fee.
Right.
So they haven't
gotten.
And so what we've had, and under the new business, I'll talk about the BHC contract. So what we've had to do with the school district and with that 10 lot short subdivision that came in, or not short, the 10 lot subdivision. Vision. It's not a short plat, but there are 10 homes that they're ready to build. And so because the mayor was only authorized to enter into this agreement with BHC for $15,000, it's a budgeted item, and she had the authority for that short-term contract for $15,000. We're able to have BHC under real limited capacity to do the plan check, act as our designated building official, and now he's picking up inspections on Thursday. And so $15,000 isn't going to go very far. So the solution to make sure that the Enumclaw School District stayed on track and the developer on that subdivision wouldn't be held up, because, again, lots of risk to the city. We are allowing both of those parties to go through what's called a third-party review. So as long as the school district and the developer on the plat are willing to use BHC consultants, because we've already vetted them, they will be paying directly for those plan review services, so that we're not spending our $15,000 down on that short contract. So we had already collected the money to do the plan check from the school district. That's why we had to refund it. Now they've got their own agreement for that third-party review. And the city, Community Development, has approved the third-party review, meaning that we will accept what the BHC plan review report says. And we've had to be really creative. Those are the ways that we've done it, just to keep things going.
Councilmember Edelman.
One other thing, too, I think people need to be aware. The mayor does have some spending authority without having to come to the council. And so on the one hand, one of the council members told the mayor, go ahead and contract with BHC. And then on the other hand, they're drafting probably a resolution to rescind her spending authority. So, you know, these are the kind of inconsistencies that the mayor is faced all the time. They say, we don't want you to do something on the one hand, but yet on the other hand, go ahead and do this. Yeah. It's no way to run a business, let alone a city.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Hang in there.
So under new business is we put on the agenda hiring a new city attorney, and I think Yvonne was going to address that. We had interviews. We had interviews with two attorney firms on Friday and one on Monday, and Pat Pepper and Tammy Deedy and myself and Yvonne Ward were all in on the interview process, we told, asked Pat Pepper if she could come to some kind of a decision because we really needed to hire a new attorney. So we've never heard back from her since we had that conversation with her on Monday. And we had three good interviews, and so I want Yvonne to kind of address what we can do because we need an attorney, and and Yvonne is ready to leave the coop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And when you hired me, it was really going to be for a very short time for a lot of reasons. And state law requires the city to have legal counsel. It's mandatory. It says shall. That's RCW 35A-12020. Shall is mandatory. The city must have a city attorney. We don't know whether, we have no information to suggest that Carol Morris will return to her post. And therefore, our clerk had sent out requests for proposal, only three responses, which is, I've been practicing law for 26 years, and city attorney contracts are considered lucrative. So you should have at least 10 or 12. And that's what it was years ago when I did this for the council as well. But the three that applied, again, in my opinion and my recommendation to the council, is they're all qualified. So that's been done. So now the question is, what do we do about getting one appointed? I did the research, and again, the mayor has a mandatory duty to make sure the statutes are enforced. So she has to enforce this requirement of legal counsel. Then I looked, and I could not find anywhere in the city ordinance that requires city council approval for the city attorney, even though that's been the practice for, I assume, many, many years. And I looked in the statute, and I did not find any authority requiring city council approval, which means that the mayor can contract and retain, either by appointment or by contract, a city attorney. And she really has to do it. The consequences are huge. For not having a city attorney. One, you're out of compliance with law. Two, you're going to, with all the issues going on, it could drive the city to bankruptcy. And at that point, you could end up in receivership, and then other people will be controlling the fate of, like, Black Diamond that aren't even part of Black Diamond. So my recommendation is, given the law that the mayor has, the authority to retain counsel, and I've double-checked how that would work in terms of contract, and the way it appears is that that new city attorney can start, sign a contract with the mayor, and just be paid under the existing city attorney budget. So it can be done, and it should be done.
Thank you. So now under new business, I think Mr. Botcher already talked about the ecology grant. Civil Service Commission is from January, and Erica Morgan has beat this poor animal to death at every meeting. She talked 45 minutes 2 weeks ago at a meeting about attending civil service meeting in Kent, talking about how different cities' civil service are, and decided she needed to do more research, and this came from the January 7th meeting. And so I'm just hoping that one day something will come out of a committee. And
Mayor, may I make a statement,
yes,
too? Because we've talked about this a lot. This vacancy has been open for
over a year,
almost a year and a half. Only one person applied. And there are certain council members that object to my use of no-brainer. I think this one really falls into the category of no-brainer. And I'm going to piggyback on this because you didn't add the appointment to the Planning Commission.
Oh,
that's a similar thing. A candidate has been selected. He's in the audience. They're sitting on it for no reason. It's a no-brainer. It needs to be brought back to the council and voted on. Is it?
Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was on the agenda. We just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, it was.
And it's not. It's not fair to our citizens who are going out of their way to get up to speed to perform their duties on these commissions, and they're held out in limbo, and you never get an answer on why we can't vote on it. You just get the deer in the headlight look.
Mayor Benz.
Oh, Councilmember Deedy, sorry.
So one of the, you know, if you've been here, you've heard me ask Councilmember Morgan about the civil service position. And it's just, you know, our job is to appoint. The mayor has asked us to appoint a member to the civil service position. She did not ask us to research and redo the whole civil service criterias of what happens with the rules and all that. So, and I stated at the last meeting that we just need to appoint the appointee and move forward. And then if Councilmember Morgan wants to still dive in and talk to every other city except for our own, she has not spoke to anybody yet of staff or our city chief police about this issue.
Or other council members.
Yeah, or council members. So she did send an email asking legal questions to the Kent civil service clerk there for that. And as far as my knowledge is, I have not heard if she got an email back. But a legal question does not go to another city. If you have a legal question in your own city, it should go to your legal counsel to answer those questions. I mean, and I can't even imagine that another city would want to get into the depths of a legal question involving another city. So it's so ridiculous. I see the lady that should be appointed every Tuesday and Thursday at the community center, and I just say maybe this next council meeting, just maybe, and she's the sweetest lady. So she's just like, oh, Tammy, you're so sweet. I hope so. It's a disservice to our citizens. I mean, who would want to apply for any position here in Black Diamond if they know that they're just going to get stuck into a universe that they're never going to get out of and try to think, okay, well, I have my name in the hat. I've been picked by the mayor and two council members to be moved forward, and now I don't know if I'm going to be put into that position. So do I go look for another voluntary position to do to help the city of Black Diamond, or do I just stay in limbo? I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's embarrassing. It's truly embarrassing for me to go anywhere in the city or even outside of the city, and everybody's saying, oh, my goodness, what is happening in Black Diamond? Why can't you guys pass anything? So, I mean, it's so ridiculous. So,
Madam Mayor, I just want to add in the continued failure to do what's required by law is adding to evidence that would support civil and criminal penalties and loss of office. So there, it's just not just frustration. There's legal consequences to failure to act. So, and not to say you have to vote the person in, you just have to act.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I see the Becky every week at the community center too, and she hugs me and she says, I'm really sorry that you have to go through this. And I see people at the grocery store that I never used to talk to before that hug me because we have to go through this. So
it's true.
So
it's sad.
Ms. Kincaid, did you want to talk any more about BHC, or did you kind of cover that now?
That BHC agenda bill is not actually, I mean, it's new business because at the last meeting, the council didn't pass it. So this was one case where I guess they did act, and that was to not pass it. So it really didn't go to committee. It was the dead bill. So that's why it's back as a new resolution. I did rewrite the resolution because the first one was written in March, and things have changed now. Because of the time span from when I originally said in the resolution the whereas is where whereas we need to do something. Now the whereas is the old contract's done, and we're required by law to have a designated building official.
So it's really the same thing where I'm asking council to consider approving a two-year contract with a very qualified consulting firm, BHC, to do plan check and to act as our designated building official. This is a fairly small company. They're located in Seattle with a terrific reputation. And the thing is there aren't very many consultants that do this building-related service. So it wasn't as though we could go out for lots of different, an RFQ for lots of qualified people to come in because I did my checking. This isn't a public works situation, so I'm not required by law to do that anyway. But I called and I checked around, hey, who's providing this service? And the other agencies that do that are national agencies. So this was the one local, and it's somebody that I've done, a company, not somebody that I had done business many years ago with their engineering consultant and a planning. So I believe that this is going to be a very good fit, and I think that it'll meet the goals that I had as your director for community development to try to streamline the permitting process and make it a better fit for the citizens here to get through that building review quickly and efficiently. And so I do have, a lot of information about BHC, and if anybody wants to take a look at that, I know I forwarded that to council members to show their qualifications. And BHC has been acting as our William Hill as our building official under that $15,000 contract, but that's very limited in scope. And when the money's up, then we really need this long-term agreement, hopefully to be approved. Thank you.
So now we're to department reports. I believe May, you wanted to make a report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to bring to everyone's attention that by not having a council meeting tonight, there's no approval to pay the city's bills. And the bills tonight that were down for council to approve to be paid are $786,000 worth of bills. That's the city's debt service payment to the state for public work trust loans. We make one annual payment a year. We've never missed a payment. It's due in their office before June 1st. The checks have not been mailed. We're holding them. We hold them until council approves them on our official council meeting night. Those checks need to be mailed tomorrow to get to their office, or I'm negligent in my job as finance director, and the mayor is negligent of not only do we have the legal responsibility, but it's our obligation to do this. The second item in there is the payment for Fire District 44. They provide all of our fire service. We make two payments a year. This is the first payment. This pays for our fire service. That is a critical service to the city. We've collected the taxes that we use to pay that service. That check needs to go out. Again, it's our obligation to meet our contracts and pay those bills on time. The next one is the refund to the school district so they can go ahead with their plan check so they can get that school on time. These are all important, critical items in this batch that tonight there's no council meeting. Tonight there's no council approval. These are on consent. I've worked in government for 40 years now. I have never had a council that refused to pay their bills. This is just a unique situation for me. Again, like the other staff members, I think you're starting to hear tiredness and frustration in our voices. We are trying to do our best to do our responsibility as officers of the city and as employees of the mayor. And we're just, every step of the way, we're like, okay, now what are we going to do? We do have an ordinance that allows us to go ahead and approve without council's approval. But we limit that. That pays our postage bill. It sucks out of our bank account with an EFT when our postage machine gets low, or it pays the EFT for our state B&O and excise tax. We have a limited amount that we pay before we bring these to council. The mayor has set up a mayor's finance committee meeting since the new council don't want to meet. I sent out a notice to the council last week before the packets even went out. The vouchers are ready. The documents are ready. When can we schedule the meeting? I'll be willing to stay late. Let me know. Just let me know when you can meet. And they emailed back that it was inconvenient to meet. So we provided the documents. We provided the opportunity. The two council up here came in on their own, reviewed these with the mayor and myself, so that we knew that it was just other sets of eyes that were reviewing all these expenditures that need to go out. This is not all the expenditures in there. It's our public defender contract. It's public works engineering services. It's all of our utility bills. You know, these are all important things that we need to pay. And it's just very difficult for me. You'll see on your agenda there was an item where Councilman Weber was going to bring forward a resolution to prohibit us in the future from paying these unless they were to review them. So if that had passed, and if that had the legal authority that we would have to follow it, we just have to not pay these bills on time.
Councilmember Edelman?
I just want to add one more thing, too, that it should be very important to anybody that lives on Lawson Hill or Morganville. We, the city, pay the Metro Sewer. It's $43,000
a month.
So what's going to happen when Metro doesn't get paid?
We've already collected the money in the utility bills we sent out. The people have paid us for that money. We're holding that money in trust to make those monthly payments. Every month, we in all the time I've worked here, we paid those on time. And so it's a very difficult situation. So I just wanted to speak that tonight and let you know the situation we're being put in. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe our attorney has another document that she's prepared on this subject also.
Yes.
You sure have been busy.
Well, they're all color-coded. If this goes to item 15, Council Member Weber proposed a resolution to strip our officials who are by ordinance allowed to do what they need to do to make sure that the city can pay its bills. So I did some research. And basically, I'll hand this out first. Now, it's very simple. The research is only 2 pages. Everything else is vague documentation. So, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. So there is at Exhibit A, the ordinance. There's actually an ordinance that authorizes the city officials under certain parameters to pay bills. Council Member Weber has proposed a resolution to undo that ordinance and require pre-approval by the council. This is a very simple legal question. Resolutions cannot amend ordinances. Ordinances are law. Resolutions are specific to they're generally policy positions or specific to a one issue. An ordinance is a law of broad application, applies to everyone. I was surprised I had to do that, but I went ahead and wrote a memo on very simple on ordinances and resolutions. Now, here's the other kicker, though, that's really important for the council and the mayor. Not only can they not amend that ordinance by resolution, to do so, to have the legislative branch attempt to interfere with the executive's payment of funds of already approved projects that the legislative branch has approved is unconstitutional. under our Washington Supreme Court. They said you can't do this. They tried this in King County to stop, I think, the first Mariner or Seahawks stadium went back in the 70s. But it's unconstitutional under both the United States Constitution and state constitution for interference with contract, and it specifically applies to cities. Then I go back to my new paragraph that I'm putting in every memo, your responsibility as mayor is common. But because there's contracts at stake, it is your responsibility as mayor to make sure they're adhered to and not put the city at risk. And so Mr. Weber's, Councilmember Weber's resolution is an attempt to amend an ordinance by resolution, therefore it's invalid, and because it impedes contracts, it's unconstitutional. And then in terms of the impact and the policy, that's for you all to assess with your staff in terms of what that means. But it's important as lawyers that we have a factual basis as well, and May Miller had provided a lot of factual documentation that assisted in my memo. So you can't even consider the resolution. You can't even put it on your agenda other than as a council report.
Thank you.
Mayor, just a comment, because some of us kind of feel like mushrooms, because Tammy and I are never provided with any of this information until maybe it shows up here in a council meeting. The Mr. Weber.
Oh, okay.
I hear about it, but we don't get emails from those three council members on any city activities. We hear about it from a third party most of the time. So when we actually see it, it's a surprise.
So the next item is Mayor's report, and I just wanted to applaud May for having such a clean audit. And they were. And the auditors talked a lot about how cooperative she was. Some cities that they go to, it's hard to get them to comply with what they're doing. And they said that no sooner did they tell May, well, maybe you ought to change this procedure, that she already had it changed. Something that would have maybe been an exception to the audit report, she had already changed before they did the audit, so it wasn't an exception. And they wanted to point out that because we did cash accounting and 70% of all the cities in the state do cash accounting, that it wasn't an exception, even though GAAP shows it is an exception, which is generally accepted council principles. They said, as an auditors, because so many cities use cash accounting, because using accrual accounting is way more difficult, and that it requires a lot more time and the audit would be a lot more expensive. So I just think kudos should go to her that we do everything, get it done, got all the documents to her when she wanted them, and I just feel really bad that they have talked about that there might be fraud or funny business out there when that's what they look for when they do the audit. So under council reports, there's two items that were put on the agenda by Councilmember Pepper, but there was never any packet material enclosed, so the legal update and policies and procedures governing executive sessions and public workers, we have no idea what that was about. We did put it on the agenda because it was provided ahead of time, but we never got any packet material, so we have no discussion on that. The next item is council reports. Council Member Deedy.
So I attended the interviews for city attorney. Yvonne said all of them certainly could be here to represent us. One thing that we did discuss after was a six-month trial. You know, so did that get talked to with the other attorneys?
Yes, I did talk to the other firms, and actually they both said that it would probably make more sense to have it go to the end of the year since we're almost into June. So I agree that that would that would work, that we could do a contract with them till the end of the year, and that would be easier for them and for us accounting-wise.
Yeah, so that was a trial for us and a trial for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. So then I also attended the audit exit interview today. That was excellent. May, you're doing a fabulous job. Keep it up. And then, let's see, met with May Miller also to go over the vouchers on the mayor's finance meeting. But I do have a little statement to make on the last council meeting. So on May 5th, the council meeting on May 5th, Councilmember Morgan read a statement on behalf of the council. I never had a conversation with Councilmember Morgan about hiring of Yvonne Ward, and I would like to state that the document read by Councilmember Morgan did not represent the entire council, and that subject never came before council in a public meeting for discussion or debate. So when she was reading that, she said we, and she, in fear, made the statement that all of us. So at no time was it brought before the council for discussion in open public so that everybody could hear a discussion about the attorney. So in her statement, what she read was that it made the conclusion that all the council members agreed with what she was reading, and so I just want to make that clear. I appreciate everything that Attorney Yvonne Ward is doing, and she's doing a great job, but I just wanted to make it clear that in that statement, it was not discussed as a whole council. It was never brought up at a council meeting or at a work study with all five council members. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows that that was not something that I was a part of, and maybe Janie could address it on that.
I don't really remember which. I thought she just said she was going to welcome me, and then it went into some kind of...
It was we.
We welcome you, and then I don't even remember what... Yeah. It went somewhere that I can't... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, that if you're going to speak for the entire council... So I'm just saying that if anybody is going to speak for the entire council, it needs to be brought forward to the entire council so that we can have a vote on it or a discussion or whatever, so that all council knows what's going to be said and what can go out. But this was not. So, you know,
She did use we on everything.
So
it's the royal
she
we.
She was talking for all of us, and I just want to make
royal,
sure.
The royal we, the yeah. royal.
So that was just, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, you can't, a council member cannot go out and say the council wants to do this or the council says this when it hasn't even been brought forward to the council for a discussion.
So I'm going to piggyback on that because you will find that the majority is the council. They don't communicate with council member Deedy or me probably 99.9% of the time. And so that's why I jokingly said the royal we. Those three talk all the time. But Tammy and I most of the time don't have a clue. And it's a disservice to us as fellow council members that they should be, but they're, you know, we should be included in whatever decision making is going on. We aren't. They're actually going out and contracting. Saying the council, that's not Tammy or me, that's those three, and I want to make sure everybody is perfectly aware of that because I don't agree with the way that they've been doing things. As far as my activities these last couple of weeks, as a lot of you know, I've had some family issues I'm dealing with, but I did go to the exit interview today, and again, I want to just echo everything else that's been said. May you and your staff have done an outstanding job. I think that in these meetings you have been maligned. I think it's unfair and it's unfounded and it's very typical. They throw stuff, it's like spaghetti at the wall, and they want to see what sticks. But this is a staff, a mayor, and some members of this council who have an ethic. And we have a high ethic and a high work standard, and we want to do what's right. So thank you, and please forward that on to your staff too. They need some kudos too.
Thank you. So it's time for an attorney report, and I see she has one other memo over there.
No. Actually, this is it's just ordinances, resolutions, and attachments to show it's old. Actually, there was just two things on the attorney report. One is mediation. At the last council meeting, the council voted 5-0 for mediation. I reached out to contacts I have in the profession and also with professional mediation services to get names to propose. We actually sent those to the insurer because the insurer was willing to pay for at least part of it, which is very unusual. they're very interested. And so those names then were sent to the clerk and the mayor, and they sent them all out, and I do not know the status of that at all.
I did reach out to them again. Was it yesterday or the day before? Mm-hmm. Yesterday. No, it wasn't because I wasn't in the office. But this is the day before. So I reached out to them again and asked them that we had four applicants, and would they please send me which person they would prefer. Janie sent one which one she preferred. Tammy said she didn't care. Those three have not responded.
And they're free to also offer their own, because it really has to be a
Right.
So I don't know if they did that either. The other issues over the last 2 days, I've been getting a lot of contacts from the public with information. I've been getting some public records requests that I've started verbal requests that, as a person who actually litigates public records requests, I promptly hand out whatever I've got on the spot if I can. I'm going to document that for the clerk who's in charge of our public records requests, but I hope you don't mind that I happen to have the records, and that's like, okay, here you go. And there's a number of the documents that have come forward. I can't talk a lot about it. Raise some questions about possible criminal activity with certain elected officials. And I am researching and contacting the appropriate venues on where to direct that, because that would not be something that I investigate. That would probably not be something our police department should investigate because of conflict of interest, but that's all I can say at this time. I have an ethical duty, though, once I learn a possible criminal activity, to do my due diligence and follow up on that. And I can't say more until I have something more substantive.
Thank you. So we are not having an executive session. And now it's time for the second public comment. Okay, limit your comments to 3 minutes. Andy Williamson. He beat you.
Mayor and Council, Andy Williamson, representing the Teamsters 117 Professionals Unit. I'd like you to make note that six of the professional members are here tonight to provide public service to move the city forward. But we must put the council on notice that you are frustrating our members. You are demoralizing some of our members. Our members come with a very high ethical of public service. A lot of us have spent many years in this and take our jobs very seriously. The frustration for us to not be able to move grants, to move forward just general business that would be part of our professional duties is very frustrating to our members, and to the point where some of our members are thinking of leaving the city and moving forward simply because of how you affect our professional images by not moving forward this general business. So with that, let's please move forward in a cooperative manner as we have in our contract. And we'd like to thank Mayor Benson from the Teamsters for providing leadership to our group, and we really appreciate working with you.
Angelina?
Angelina Taylor, Port Orchard. Seth, I have an email back and forth with Kim Harper. She's the grant coordinator for the the last one you talked about for the December 31st timeline, and she's more than happy to extend that timeline, and I made it blatantly clear, didn't sugarcoat it, about why we haven't started. So I can forward that to you if you'd like. Commissioner Deedy, I have a PRR out to Kent on that email that Morgan sent about the questions that she asked. So as soon as I get that back, I would be more than happy to forward it to the city clerk. To Mayor Benson, does the council have to appoint to the Planning Commission and to the other commissions? I mean, is there...
They have to confirm.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask. So, Jason Seth, the one that we're waiting on, sorry to break it to you, but he won't be appointed. He already spoke against them, and he has extensive knowledge on RCWs and WACs and legal proceedings, and they don't want him anywhere near it. He intimidates Trudowski. I think it's great. You probably should be there, but he intimidates Trudowski, so that ain't going to happen. Attorney, what does the mayor have the ability to do when it comes to the bills? Okay.
It's in the budget. I have the ability to approve the bill.
That's all I want to know.
And the obligation. Yes, thank you.
The statement was made that what you brought up about the we to the attorney. That statement was found in at least two of the council members' stuff. I have it here. It was a script that she was reading off of. Yeah, it wasn't written by her. It was probably written by somebody else. I probably don't need to mention the name who it was written by. And I wanted to say for the council members that were so worried about funny business and all that stuff, they didn't ask any questions today at the closing. Actually, Pepper and Morgan kind of sat there like a deer in the headlights and were kind of dumbfounded. What else did I have? And all five council members were together today at 1 p.m. Three of them knew they were not going to be here tonight, and yet they weren't willing to sign the vouchers to take care of city business to make sure the bills were paid. So, that's it. Making sure I got my copy.
Councilmember Brock?
Why do I do that?
Hey, you just got promoted.
I always want to say Councilmember.
No, thank you. So what I want to say, I'm Brock Deedy from Black Diamond, and I've been going to the committee meetings pretty regularly since January, and this last one, which was Monday, was the finance one, and we've always they're holding these committee meetings so that there's more visibility. They're holding these in the evening, so there's more visibility so that more public can attend. But as some of us can attest, not too many people come to these meetings. And I've gone to most of them. And what I noticed on Monday was the vouchers came up, and Brian talked about them a little bit. He had some questions. He had sent them to May, and May had replied. And then Erica also had some questions, but didn't have answers. And now I hear that May went out to them last week and said, the vouchers are ready. You can come and look at them if you want. And the response was, we don't have time. It's inconvenient. Here they are sitting in a committee meeting discussing the finances of the city, and they still have questions that are unanswered. Because why? Because they're not going out and getting the answers, right? And it just, it it just goes on and on and on and on. But this was the one that was very clear to me that they aren't trying to get the answers. They're just coming up with questions to move it on to the next committee meeting. So I had to come up and say it because it's just disturbing to me, and it just keeps on going. So hopefully we can do something about that and get it taken care of so that we can do our business, right?
Is there anyone else? Judy?
Judy Goodwin, Black Diamond. I would just like to thank the entire staff for working under these very difficult circumstances. I've been to a number of these council meetings, and you give very specific and thorough reports. It's just obvious that you're working really hard for the city, and it's a shame that you're getting to the point of being discouraged and perhaps don't want to be here anymore. I represent, I'm sure, a lot of people in this city, and I want you to stay here and to be our staff. I would like to know what it would take to bring some of these charges against the council people who are making the staff's job, the other council members' jobs, so difficult. If they continue not to come to these meetings, at what point are they liable? Are they?
Well, they're already liable now.
Okay.
And then it'll just compound.
Okay. Okay. The other thing I was wondering if Mayor Benson, the staff, could put together just some bullet points about how the city is being affected, the citizens are being affected rather personally from the activities over the last 5 months, something that was fairly concise but that we could distribute around the city so they know, you know, what's happening. So I think that would be a great thing to have. And the last thing was I wanted to extend sympathy to the Edelmans. They have been through a horrible personal tragedy. I'm very sorry, Bob and Janie, for your loss. And through it all, they have been coming to these meetings and staying on top of what's going on in the city, just showing just amazing representation for the city. And so I want to thank you for that. And for Tammy and Brock as well, involved in so many things, Mayor Benson at the community center, staying involved, volunteering, doing all kinds of wonderful things around the city. Just thank you so very much for all of your time.
Thank you, Judy. Ron.
Couple of things I just wanted to point out. As a former council member myself, I know that one of the requirements right away once you're elected is to get briefed on a number of the rules, the do's and don'ts, the ethics and whatnot. I know that one of the things that was ingrained into myself, and I know that others here, was you do not, as an individual, have the right to speak for the council or the city. And I have seen that, as have a lot of others, that is taking place. And as Councilmember Didi alluded to, you cannot, as just a member or a portion of the members of the council, speak unless the council has proceeded with an official, like, resolution, an official action and process, then that is the voice of the council, and only through that due process. I also wanted to point out that most of you know that as a council member, I was very active in pushing for fire safety in the city, and that the city has for a long time had a serious deficit of fire services. We were, with the ad hoc council, moving ahead with some good steady progress on addressing that. And one of the – I have stayed engaged with that ad hoc committee, and unfortunately that does not seem to be on the new majority's agenda, and that has languished. So that is one of my concerns, that since I live up here at the corner of the city, probably the furthest from the fire station of anybody, that is one of my great concerns, is that the fire service is not being addressed, and we've lost a lot of momentum on that.
Chrissy?
Christine Hansen, 325-0623. Wow. Black Diamond. Well, I heard rumors of what was going on, but it's amazing to actually be up here and see it. Hopefully the legal stuff will be sooner rather than later on what they're doing. I mean, I know you've got evidence now, but it's like, okay, when is it going to really, really happen? Just seems like nobody wants to take it on. They're causing so much misery with staff, with citizens and everything, that it's just amazing. It's heartbreaking. The other thing I wanted to point out was, I believe that we are at enough population now. Do we go to 7? Are we not close enough yet?
We're at like 4,200, and we could do it any time, but I don't know if that's a solution right now.
I don't know if it's a solution. I don't know if it is right now, but I think
exactly.
Judy Goodman also had a good point. If somehow we could get out to the public, especially to today's council meeting, what they caused or lack thereof, just so people could know. You know, people, they don't come, they don't pay attention, and they really need to know. So I will be photocopying all that and putting on the Black Diamond Resident Facebook page, so hopefully that will get somebody's attention. But hopefully the law will prevail sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you respond?
Councilmember Edelman.
I just want you to know, Chrissy, look how many people are here tonight. But you know what? These are all residents of the city of Black Diamond, with maybe a couple of exceptions. But basically, these are the folks that want to see our city functioning. The ones that live outside the city and the chaos creators, you notice they're not here. Unless I don't notice anybody here from Save Black Diamond. They were outside rabble-rousing before the meeting tonight. So this is the turnaround that we've seen just in the last little while. The citizens are starting to come out, and I actually keep track. And the last meeting, I didn't know everybody, and that's really unusual. I mean, I pretty much know everybody's name here tonight. So the word is getting out, and I do want to say thank you to the newspapers, maybe all three of them now, because I think the reporting that's been going on has been accurate, it has been fair, and it's been truthful. So,
is there anybody else wishing to address council? Robin.
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. For what former council member Taylor was saying about you don't speak for the whole council unless you've been specifically authorized, another good RCW, 42.20.040, is titled False Report. Every public officer who shall knowingly make any false or misleading statement in any official report or statement under circumstances not otherwise prohibited by law shall be guilty of a gross misdemeanor. So when they go to Maple Valley, or they write something that goes into the paper, or they make a statement here at the council that has not been given the authority of the entire council, has not been aired publicly, and they've been authorized, that is a false statement. They're making a statement from a position of power that they have not been given, and that is a false statement, and that's a gross misdemeanor. Now, I wanted to speak on a couple of things. The Civil Service Commission, I recently received documents for my public records request. And on the Civil Service Commission, I received a document of the agenda bill for the civil service, and Erica Morgan, Councilmember Morgan, had written on it. Item number two at the bottom says, no problem with the candidate. And then there's an email that she sent to Mayor Benson. And in part, she says, as I understand the parameters for holding this position in Black Diamond, they are only the parameters directly from the state code governing civil service commissions. So what is currently required is proof of United States citizenship, proof of an active voter registration in King County, proof of 3 years residency inside the city limits. That's tough to live up to. The last part of her email then says, I don't know if everybody knows who the person was, but from the applicant, I personally think, or from this person's application, I personally think that most probably she might be a good candidate. Remember, I do know many of our citizens and many who know many others. So she has no problem with the candidate. There is no reason why that's stuck in committee other than she's just going to keep it there. As far as the Planning Commission with the interview of the applicant, when they were asked if they were going to send it to the council, it was, we will discuss it. They were asked that question about three times, we will discuss it.
Is that on audio?
Oh, yes, that's on audio, yes. And then they never discussed it. They never discussed it. I wonder where they discussed it, because they did not discuss it here. They say, we want to have committee meetings in the evening so people can come and watch us work. Well, you know what? Lazy bones, because they're not doing any work at the committee meetings. Now, the Jones Lake overlay, the committee had questions about that, such as, the lowest bid is not always the best. Now they're questioning the paving company and the type of pavement they're going to be using. How long will the pavement last with truck traffic? And will bonding be in place before the job is let? And there's nothing glaring that will prevent this from going through, but we have questions need answering. Yeah, always reasons to keep in... Oh, that's my comment, sorry. So because they've got these glaring issues, they have to hold that up. And that's a 60-day, from bid opening. The bid opening was 4/25. 60 days puts it at June 24th. After that, the winning bid, he can change his bid. Up until that time, he can't. So he can after that. The BHC, at the budget committee meeting, when Chairman Weber was questioning about the Enumclaw School District refund, he made the comment that it's too bad we didn't have a contract in place before we terminated the ILA. Well, the ILA was terminated on March 14th. Here I have an introduction slip for ordinance and resolutions per the council rules that the three of them like to practice. This was introduced by Pat Pepper. The date was March 11th. I think 11 comes before 14, and then this was on the March 17th agenda. Now, at that council meeting, things went sideways, as they often have since the 7th of January, and there were three resolutions that did not get their first reading, but they sent them to committees anyway. You just kind of found out by because they were on the calendar, and there it has stayed ever since. That's where it's been ever since. Also at that budget meeting, Weber and Morgan said they wanted to bring the audit interview people to a committee so that it was in the evening so that people could come in because there are people that have concerns with the budget. And they want to be able to have people come in to the committee meeting and air those concerns with the auditors. So we're still out there making disparaging statements about the budget, and they had no comment on it today. So just look for more fun down the road. Thank you.
So can I, Robin? So thank you for bringing that, because they did not turn the audio, the recorder on that meeting, so there is no recording for that. So,
oh, you're kidding.
So that helps.
Well, we'll get the recording.
It was on the video.
I've already talked. We're going to get the recording off of our recording.
Okay,
so
I was just going to say, yeah, there is video. So I was just going to say that that helps staff know what the heck they're talking about, because they'll listen to that audio to figure out where their issues are. So, you know,
They didn't name any issues. They just, once again, we have these really vague concerns. Right. And
So I'm just saying thank you for bringing that up. Because
yes.
I'm sure May and Barbara found information there that can help them, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Bob? I don't know why I don't have trouble with you.
Do you want me to change my last name?
Yeah. Bob Edelman, 29871 232nd Avenue, Black Diamond. I just wanted to, at the one of the first meetings, I believe in January, Brian Durdowski explained the revised council rules. And I had asked the question whether this explanation was to the council, so that they, to the council members, so that they would know what it was they approved, or whether it was to us. And Erica was adamant that these were her rule or their rules, and that Brian Durdowski was expressing her opinion, or the council member's opinion. Well, there are a number of things in those rules. In case there's any doubt, one of the things that Brian Durdowski emphasized was the ability of the committees to hold things in committee. He said that's a very powerful thing that you can do. And at, Yvonne, I have the transcript of that. Yeah, I'll actually put it down on paper. There was a number of things that were said in that that you might be interested in.
Is it on audio, Mr. Edelman?
It's on audio, and I also have the transcript. one other thing I just wanted to mention, it came to mind when you were talking about this, that at one point, Tammy, you had asked Brian Weber, what are your questions? He said he had additional questions. You asked him, what are your questions? He says, I don't know yet.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council?
Terry Yankovich, Black Diamond. I don't know if this is what I should say, but I'm going to say it. If there's any way that we as community members can help in facilitating removing some of these council members, could anybody let us know? I'd be willing to get the ball rolling. Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. Is there anything else?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
We don't have to make. And we don't have to, because it's not a real meeting.
Okay, meeting adjourned.
Good night.
Thank you for showing up tonight.